Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Today, we are continuing in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, where Paul shares perseverance from prison.
This little portion of the verse, that I may know him, sets the tone for the rest of the chapter. This is a choice. You can't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior because of what it says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It is all a work of grace that he's given you.
Right.
But you haven't really gotten rid of the nasty nows. So then there has to be a perseverance from whatever prison you might be in.
Exactly.
In growing to move on to the option that you have.
Well, Janie, we're beginning in verse 10 of Philippians chapter 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. So knowing him is what Christianity is all about, because it's a relationship with God. That's what Christianity is, a relationship.
Do you think we take that for granted?
I think we do.
So to know him, some people are content to just know him in the historical context?
Well, probably. Knowing him through Bible lessons, Bible stories, things they've been taught along the way, and not knowing him intimately in a personal relationship.
And I know some people who love history and love to read have spent many times coming to know him in a chronological order. Well, this is where he was manifested in the Old Testament, and this is how he is in the Gospels, and then this is how he is in the Epistles. And oh, wow, if you dare touch Revelations, well, I'm not sure what he is in Revelations.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
But it's awesome and scary. And yet that is not probably really what Paul was saying when he said that I may know him. And I think you hit on the key when you said it has to be in an experiential way.
Yeah.
You want to elaborate on how that applies for where you get up and go each day?
Well, I think it applies in our Christian life. If we are a Christian, there comes a place where you need him. There's a submission, a dependency to get through the day. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I think you're going there. In other words, I use the terms that may be offensive in some people, but we need to come to a place of being helpless and hopeless, because we understand that in and of ourselves and our flesh and even our good performance, that's not sufficient. We need to know him experientially. And again, we've often questioned, why does he say in the power of his resurrection? Well, it's because beginning to know him spiritually also means that we're willing to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, and we'll get into that a little bit. But to know the resurrection life, which seems to be the advanced life, but it's really not, Sharon, because the resurrection life is the beginning when he came out of the grave and made everything that happened on the cross real.
Yeah.
You know, as we said last week, all the other quote-unquote religious leaders are still in their graves.
Right.
We have one that is in active service.
And he's active in our lives when we allow him to be.
Absolutely. But can you think of some ways that we hinder him from being active in our life?
Ignoring him is a huge one.
And that can sound so abrupt, but I find that I can ignore him because when I'm too busy for him and your heart is in there wanting to please him, and you're so busy that you realize that after the end of the 4 days of the week, you've spent maybe an hour talking to him comfortably.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Janie, I've been diagnosed with cancer, and I have had my second round of chemo. In this past 2 weeks, it has been hard. And one of the things that I noticed, that in illness, we can ignore him because the pain, the struggles to even think can be overwhelming. And so there's been a lot of pain this past couple of weeks, and ignoring him in my pain is what I have found that I have done.
Well, and a lot of times, even when you have a relatively good day, what I told someone the other day is I really get irked because I can spend 40% of the day going through the med options, the alternative treatments and everything to get the body in a shape to where it can concentrate on the Word of God. But here is an interesting thought. I was reading in the scriptures and having enough time, and the Lord brought me over into Hebrews where it talks about having so great a cloud of witnesses that have gone on before, mm-hmm. and they're like your cheerleader section. It says that they're not just aware of us, but we are surrounded by them, and they are like your cheerleaders. Now, you always you always told me you wanted to be a cheerleader.
I'm going
to
be on the cheerleader section.
So you're going to have your day when you're in heaven and there is no pain, but there are still others here going through the tribulation, and you will be their cheerleading section. And I tried to put a visual to that. And so I thought about a stadium that I visited this weekend when there was some basketball games going on. And I thought, what if Sharon walked into this stadium, and when she walked in, everyone stood and applauded, not to give you kudos or to give you acknowledgement, but just to say, Sharon, we are here as witnesses to what God has done, and our part of our coming into our fullness is depending on you getting through this trial. So, Sharon, we are here as your cheerleaders to encourage you on to the finish so that you can do the same thing when you come and be a part of us with those that are still waiting to come.
Well, I tell you, I have experienced a lot of that with people who have texted me and made comments on Facebook, make a phone call or come by to see me and just cheer me on with their prayers and encouraging words. So absolutely, having a cheerleader section is phenomenal.
Is a mainstay. Yeah. And you know, we right now today need to be the cheerleaders for those that may be listening to us, Sharon, that fall into the category of the 40% that are not in the family and have access to the cheerleading section.
Yeah.
And we need to say to them, what is it necessary for you maybe seeking and searching mm-hmm. to know so that you can know Him? So to a seeking heart, but still maybe an unbelieving heart, what would you want to say to that person on knowing Him, which might be a little bit different than what you would say to the person in the family of God that maybe has taken a detour and gone down the wrong path?
I would say to someone who is seeking, there is no greater place to go than to keep seeking God. So attaining salvation and coming to know Him in an intimate relationship, you're not making a mistake.
Absolutely not.
That would be the best move that you can possibly make. So keep seeking and searching for Him. And really, Janie, that's what we all do every day. We should always be seeking after Him to know Him more. And whether that is the first step or the millionth step, as long as we're living and breathing and living on this earth, we should be seeking Him.
And that's one of the, maybe I should say few ways, but only way where we really are going to mature and grow up and not be 50 years old and still wearing training panties.
That's right.
All right. And but people get satisfied with false comfort. So I would say to people who may be seeking but not yet having the assurance that knowing Him is to, first of all, give you the confidence and the hope of life eternal in a place that you're going to want to stay.
Mm-hmm.
If you are choosing to be separated from Him, you're not going to be having a fun time at a party separated from Him. You'll know darkness, you'll know agony, you'll know aloneness, you'll know everything right now that you're trying to get rid of, but you cannot settle down to say, is He the only way? Yes. Come on. There's got to be other ways. I try so hard. Surely he'll accept me. Wow. And we can just go back and say, he said, guys, here's the game plan. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
And that's the Jesus way. Jesus Christ.
That's right. And that's the way the playbook is written.
Yeah.
And if you don't go by the playbook, then you're going to miss your goal.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what I would say to the person, but that is available. And then can you really have lasting friendships? I see friendships that look like they were solid forever, and then one incident tore that friendship apart. Or look at marriages. I heard this week of three more supposedly godly marriages that have bit the dust. Why were they best of friends or thought they were best of friends for 25 or 30 years, and now they're the bitterest of enemies?
Yeah.
What failed? It wasn't Jesus Christ, but did they really know him and then go on to be willing to go into the fellowship of his sufferings? And when those came, they didn't really know, so they cratered. Does that make sense?
It does to me. So what are the ways that we can know him? I know we don't like to talk about having formulas or methods, but some sort of outline to help those who may be saying, you know what, I want to know him more. How do I do that, Janie?
Well, let's just take real practical. How would you like to know your family more? How would you like to know your kids and your husband in a deeper way?
Well, I'd spend more time with them.
Great.
I talked to him.
Great. Keep coming. You're right so far. Those are two of the main ones.
I would find out what they like.
Perfect. Three hits so far, Sharon. Keep going. You're on a roll.
Well, I would find out how they feel about certain things.
All right. You'd care about their hearts.
Yes.
And then I know your character, and you would love to sacrifice your own self to see the joy of giving that it would bring to them.
Right.
And that's part of getting to know. And don't you think that if the Lord died for us and God Almighty brought us back, brought him back from the grave, and the Holy Spirit then is given, that I'm not saying he's anxious, but don't you think he sits with longing, I'll use that word, mm-hmm. for us to just be, excited.
Oh, no.
Excited about him and his plan. And I've talked to you sometimes about, and it may need some explanation, and you can help explain, about the difference between an earthbound Christian and a heavenly bound Christian. They both have the security of Jesus Christ for eternal life. They both are going to miss the second death. And we personally believe the tribulation. I know there's variants of beliefs on that particular teaching. But you're going to get out of a lot of bad stuff because that you are in the family of God. But what else would you want to elaborate on for enjoyment of what a relation.
A heavenly bound Christian?
Yeah.
Well, I think there's some confidence that comes with having that more intimate relationship with him. Because if you're an earthbound Christian, then you're not thinking on things that are above. You're not concerned about those things which are Christ's.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there is some confidence that comes with knowing him intimately. For instance, in my case, with being diagnosed with cancer, I have some confidence in where I'm going if I don't make it through this battle. I have confidence that no matter what happens, no matter how much illness or sickness or pain or suffering that comes, that God is right there beside me, helping me along the way. If I had to do this without him, I think it would be a more difficult, more painful, emotional battle than I am dealing with now. And so confidence, I say, would be one of the major things. And peace, there's a peace that comes with that confidence.
And the Bible says that that's where you get your strength.
Right.
And that obviously is going to help and assist in the healing.
Right.
And then we have to remember that he allows various trials
And he will give us understanding in how to go through those.
And it takes perseverance. And that's what this whole chapter is about, is the perseverance of pressing toward that mark, pressing toward the things that are above.
And your sentence that in that you press on with confidence, mm-hmm. because you understand your calling. Now, I know you're perplexed by a lot of the ways that he is handling the situation. You had all kinds of hopes that you could slide around this destructive killer that can heal. I'm not sure that it heals, but it kills so that the body can then can heal. And yet you, with confidence in your God, when the majority of different authorities said, this is the way you should go, mm-hmm. I saw you cry and then buck up. You may have had a little frustration, but I saw you get a new hairdo. And you know what it did, Sharon? It just made your smile stand out more.
Because I am bald. I have lost all my hair.
I wouldn't be able to get a rolling pin in it, that's for sure. But to go on with where we are today, this little portion of the verse, that I may know him, sets the tone for the rest of the chapter. And what we need to express that we have learned and continue to learn is that this is a choice. You can't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior because of what it says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It is all a work of grace that he's given you.
Right.
You recognize your need for a Savior. You confess your sins. You do it with your head and your heart. There should be a change in your life because the Holy Spirit comes in to dwell. But you haven't really gotten rid of the nasty nows, the things that you knew from childhood that you grew up with, the selfishness and everything like that. So then there has to be a perseverance from whatever prison you might be in,
exactly,
in growing to move on to the option that you have. Paul actually had the option of reneging on his prison sentence if he would have changed his answers and done things.
Changed his story. What do you mean? Christ, who are you talking about?
There you go.
Exactly.
Okay. But instead, he stood his ground and knew the fellowship of his sufferings, mm-hmm. and yet he persevered, and because of that, he did it with joy, and joy brings healing. Now, to be a heavenly-minded Christian is one of the main things in knowing the Lord, because he is heavenly-minded.
Yes.
His focus is on the plan for all ages of ages, and earthbound is like a short little window. And the Bible constantly tells us, hey, you're here for a brief day. You're like a fading flower. You're like a grass that withereth. So what I've left you here to do for that short little season, do it with perseverance. Do it with love and learn what love is. Do it with all diligence and serve one another in truth, in love. And you know what, Sharon? I'm with James now. If you can't do it so that the lifestyle sees it, shut your mouth until you can, because to give out a lot of flowery words, mm-hmm. and I've seen this happen. Oh, I love you. I love you. I'm so sorry I can't come today. Oh, I really miss you. But, you know, I've got to do my nails. I haven't been able to see you in a couple of months. But. And I'm saying, cut the sweet words that are really just a diversion until you're willing to put yourself where your words are. And that's what James is saying. He's not saying you're justified by your actions, but your actions do prove your heart.
Right. They show what your words are supposed to be saying. Right.
And that's one way of knowing if somebody knows him.
Okay.
And if somebody you know is sacrificing for you and they're doing it joyfully and you're thinking, they've got to be nuts.
Yeah.
to want to do this joyfully? I never wanted to do this joyfully, but they're doing it joyfully. Well, then you know that it's that cheerleading section, mm-hmm. invisibly cheering you on, and the Spirit giving you the proof that he is in control and working in you. And that should give anybody hope.
knowing that if you don't have what you might call blessing grace, because your life is on a smooth track for a short period of time, but you've got sustaining grace.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Keep going on.
My grace is sufficient
for you.
For you.
And you know, later on in Philippians chapter 3, then he does say that he's willing to give up everything so that he can lay hold of what he has been laid hold of. And that is the heavenly eternal picture. We look at feeling bad now and thinking, oh, I wish I could die, but I don't guess I am going to die, so I'm going to have to just go ahead and suffer. And if we woke up every morning thinking, wow, this may not be the best of my feeling days, but oh, well, I've got 10,000 years to have the good days, or I've got 10 million years. My mind can't comprehend that.
Right.
But eternity is eternity.
Uh-huh.
Then doesn't that change your focus a little about having a bad day today?
Well, and to be honest, I had a bad 2 weeks, so this is the perfect time for me to kind of talk about that, because, you know, you get kind of stuck in a rut on how you handle things, and we have a tendency to more think how we feel than to feel how we think.
Mm.
So
you want to repeat that, can you?
We have a tendency to think how we feel instead of feel how we think. So in me feeling bad, then my thinking went bad, and I didn't renew my mind the past couple of weeks. Like I said, I spent a lot of time just focused on the pain instead of focused on the Lord, diving into scripture and allowing the Lord to renew me and refresh me with his word. And so it's a matter of renewing that mind.
And even, you know, when you are weak, there was a need from somebody else that you love very much. And you rose to the occasion, and I don't know whether you stuffed the pain or
you fight it.
Or fight it, because you see, you had a purpose that was centered on someone else. And I was privileged to have a part of that day. And I saw strength, and there was joy. And you may have been very tired at the end of the day, but you were also joyful, and it had a very beautiful ending. So again, the word you're using today is persevering from prison.
Persevering.
And in your two last weeks, you persevered.
I didn't persevere very well.
But as you went on, you stayed the course.
Yes.
And that brought you some victory. But I'm hoping that whether anybody listening today, you know, cancer may not be your deal. A sickness may not be your deal. Loss of a job. Loss of a marriage.
Finances.
Loss of a loved one. But anything that rattles the foundation of familiarity that you've had your whole life. But obedience brings blessing, even in spite of the prison. Mm-hmm. But the persevering builds the character and also builds a physical being.
All right. Well, Janie, would you close us out in prayer?
I would love to.
Okay.
And so, Father, today I pray for those that may have an interest of really knowing you and knowing that resurrection power, but have not found the way, the supply, the understanding. And I pray that their hearts today may have had an interest pricked to where they want to know more. They want to be a part of the eternal family. Then I pray for the family of God that has accepted resurrection life. Know that you have gone back to prepare a place for us, that you have ascended, and that you have left us here to be a witness unto who you are, and you've given us everything that we need by the power of the Spirit. And Father, we do need to be still and allow you to teach us how we can live that out in real time, in living color, so that when we do see you face to face, we can hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But until that day, Father, your faithfulness in teaching us and carrying us as we walk by faith in who you are will sustain us, and will thank you and praise you that you are the only living resurrected God.
that has given all things to the Son, and that we have the comfort of the Holy Spirit to get us through any trial or prison that may come our way. We thank you, Lord, for that grace, and we love you because you first loved us. Amen.
Amen. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again, or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.